He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father, and he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I trusted him, and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think that the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. Jesus is to me. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing.
That's what Jesus Jesus is
to me.
He's more than wonderful
to me.
Boy, he is wonderful. Amen. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for that testimony and song. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark this morning, please. The Gospel of Mark. There you go. Mark chapter 11. We're going to read two verses, verse 25 and 26 this morning. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. As our custom is, if you're able, please, stand to your feet together as we read the Word of God together. It's an honor of the Word of God, and that's how it's done in the Bible, as scriptures were read, and we do that here. Proverbs. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this stunning, this powerful verses in the Word of God. Sobering thought here this morning. So, Lord, we pray that you'd use our pastor to help us learn, help us to commit to the scriptures today. Do a work in our midst in this room today. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to fill him and help him this morning. And so we pray that. And, Father, we also pray, as we always do, if somebody's listening on the internet this morning or in this room, doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, let me say initially right off the bat this morning that I treasure and value this investment of your time in coming to church this morning. I'll ask you to value the time by making sure your cell phone is turned off or turn to vibrate or whatever's necessary. And please don't mess with your cell phone during church. A, it's rude, and B, it's rude, and C, it's rude. So just don't do that, and that would be wonderful. Forgiveness. If we understand our Bible, we understand it is a command, not a request. That we, look at me, we are to forgive those that have hurt us, wronged us, or that forgiveness is supposed to be a part of our life. When he said here in chapter 11 in verse number 25, when Jesus makes this simple statement and says, when you stand praying, forgive, that's not a request, it's a command. You know what that means? Look here. That means if I will not forgive, I'm breaking a commandment in the Bible. But why does God make us do that? Sounds unfair, doesn't it? Someone wrongs us, we have to forgive them. Always, always understand that forgiveness is for your benefit, not theirs. If we get that straight in our minds, that's a big help. God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. Because forgiveness in its purest form means to give before. But literally it means, look here, it means put it away from you. Let it go and put it away from you. So we know it's a command. We also know it's not just words. We've all said, I forgive you, and hated the person and done all that kind of stuff. I forgive you. We've done that one before. We know it's more than just words that we speak and that sort of thing. We do understand from this passage, please, if I'm unwilling to forgive, it affects my fellowship with God. Do you see that? Verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Whoa, look at me. I don't want that. I need to go to God and get some things right with him about every day of my life. Well, not about every day. Every day of my life. So do you if you're smart. But if I won't forgive somebody, God's going to say, no, You don't give it, you don't get it. So that makes it valuable in my life. That makes whatever it is I think I cannot forgive someone for, it makes it too costly a thing for me to not let it go. So we get the forgiveness principle now. Do we understand that forgiveness is more than words? Do we understand that forgiveness is an act and a process? To forgive is first of all an act. That is where you decide, I'm going to let this thing go. By the way, look at me. And it's not up to them to help you make that decision. It's up to you to make it, whether they do so or not. Because I guarantee you, the longer you live on this earth, there are going to be people who are not going to want your forgiveness. They could care less. But you can't hold things against them. My stepfather was a drunk who beat us when we were kids and that kind of stuff. I hated that man. I hated him. I couldn't wait until I got big enough to stand up to him. You know, no little boy is supposed to go stand on a chair in the hallway and unscrew the light bulb and then go stand in the corner with a baseball bat waiting to lay him out when he comes around the corner. But when I was, because he was a big raw bone dude, bartender and a drunk, oh boy. I couldn't wait till I was big enough to stand up to that guy. And when the day came I was, he was withered away with cancer. And I let it go, and it was for my benefit. And he refused to even acknowledge I was alive. You have to understand something. There comes that point where the act of, because look, if we depend on others to help us to forgive them and it doesn't come, you're stuck. You're waiting on them to do something. So there's the act of forgiveness. I'm going to let this thing go. Now, that second part of that is it's a process, because once you say that, it doesn't mean it's gone. Now you got to learn to keep putting it away from you. Simply put, it means I remember that this is a forgiven thing, and the grace of God helps you to continue to let it go until eventually you let it go. Say, well, that sounds really simple. Yeah, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad I don't have to go get counseling and read my aura and get the bumps on my head felt and get shock treatment and go through intense counseling to figure out how to forgive somebody? Look at me, friend. Listen to me. When God doesn't cripple you by commanding forgiveness, he's trying to set you free. Because look here, most of the root cause of bitterness and anger and all that stuff in our society is a result of the lack of forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what it says before that? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. See, the reason people don't let it go is because they haven't practiced biblical forgiveness. And there's nothing, look, happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is I'm on a journey to heaven, but I'm like I'm going through hell down here, and there's no life for me. Unbelievable. Hey, let it go, man. Hello? And the grace of God will help you. Yeah, he will too. The act of forgiveness is the decision to put it away from you. The process is continuing to put it away from you. And we also know this, and I'll get on the message now. Listen, we know that my ability to forgive is based on how much I have been forgiven. Remember that Matthew 18 parable where Jesus asked Peter, I think it was, said, how many times did I forgive my brother? Till 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. If you don't have a calculator, let me tell you what it is. 490. Hey, per offense, per person. And there ain't no app on that one where you can just keep record of it. And then when you get to 491, you can hate their guts. It just simply means you practice it, you're going to let it go. Somewhere between the first one and the 490th one, you're going to let this thing go. And then what did he do? Give the parable. Man owed a guy what amounts to $250 million. And he's called in to the man he owes the money to and says, pay me my debt. And he goes, I don't have it. He goes, well, I'm going to sell you and your family and everybody else. And generationally in those days, you didn't get to declare bankruptcy. They put you in debtor's prison and your kids and your grandkids and everybody else that had your name until that debt was paid off. And the guy said, but give me some chance. And the man looked at him and he goes, I'll forgive you the debt. He just got a $250 million debt wiped out. Obviously not a congressman. He got the debt wiped out, okay? And he walks out of that place forgiven $250 million in debt and generational debt. He meets a friend, owes him $2. He goes to that friend who he owes him $2. Give me my $2. I don't have it. Give me time. Now I'm taking you to debtor's prison. What happened to this guy? He forgot how much he was forgiven.
Well, I don't want anybody that kind of money, Pastor.
And that's not money. If you're a child of God in this room this morning, you've been forgiven the debt of hell. Eternal punishment in fire forever. Because of the precious blood of Jesus and you accepted him by faith. Boom! Nobody has ever done anything to you worse than what we've done to God by our sin that crucified his son. And I assure you, my friend, anything anybody's ever done to us, it's $2 worth. If you see it right, in comparison to what I've been forgiven. The message. Look in there in Mark chapter 11. Would you see the statement Jesus said when he said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, in other words, if you have anything against anybody, then he says that if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. Anybody. Whoa, wait, listen to me. Anybody that you're holding something against, you need to let it go so you can be forgiven. And I was reading that one day and I was thinking of a few people that I thought I would never have to forgive. Number one is God. Now listen to this preacher very carefully this morning. God doesn't need your forgiveness. He doesn't ask for it. Do you know why? Because he doesn't make mistakes. He has never wronged you in your life. Well, then why do I need to forgive God, Pastor Johnson? Because forgiveness means what? Putting it away from you. God doesn't need to be forgiven because God doesn't make mistakes. Hey, people, look at me. He's God. Don't forget that now. He's holy. He's perfect. He only does what's best and what's right. But what are you holding against him? That's what you need to let go. Well, you see, I understand. See, God made a mistake. Whoa. See, you got a problem already. Friend, look at me. It'll never be right with you in this life until it's right with you and God about what's happened in your life. So I did that. I did that as a boy with the drunkard's home background and all that. I got a little bit older, kind of figured out what was going on in our lives and stuff like that. And then somebody started telling me about God. I thought, yeah, right. Spent half my childhood under the bed instead of on top of it. You got to be kidding me. And I held it against God. Was it God's fault I lived in a drunkard's home? Look at me. No, it was drunkard's fault I lived in a drunkard's home. And it ain't a disease, so get off of that one. If it is a disease, it's only disease opened America and it created America by opening bottles. Proverbs is clear. They are not sick. No. It is an addiction, but it's not a disease. Now listen to me. But as a boy, I got so mad at God because... And I held my childhood and all the wrong of it. Look at me. I held it against him. Now, here's the problem with that. If you really think God was wrong because he didn't stop them from doing you wrong, my next question to you is this, then why didn't he stop you from you doing your wrong? There's a lot of hypocrisy in that junk.
Well, if there's really a God in heaven, how come there's so much sin in the world? Yeah, you're not a participant. You didn't get in on any of that. Hey, you never wronged anybody in your life, right? What a bunch of junk. Hey, we want God to leave us alone so we can go party and live like animals and do what we want, hurt anybody we feel like it, because after all, that's our free will choice in my theological understanding, Pastor Johnson. But when it comes to somebody who wrongs me, well, that's God's fault. It doesn't even make sense. It's not scriptural. Now look here, look at me. Whatever it is you're holding against God because you feel like God didn't do right by you, you need to back up on that and say, God, I'm sorry that I accused you of being wrong. It's the old placard. It's a great one. Saw it in a business one day. Rule one, number one in this business, the boss is always right.
Rule number two, never forget rule number one. I'm glad it didn't work for that guy. Okay, why don't we put that plaque up? God is always right. Rule number one. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. Does that mean I always agree with everything? Of course not. Do I understand it? Absolutely not always. As a pastor, I'm asked to answer for God, and I always think, why do you put me in that position? I tell people, I'm not God. I work for him, but I don't always know what he does. I don't understand him. So I can only tell you this. I know this. He's right. I said he's right. That's right. And he does not make mistakes. He is not hurtful. He's not hateful. He doesn't do wrong to people just to hurt them. He's not up in heaven playing, you know, the voodoo doll thing. Kind of like the wife is in the bedroom. She's saying, honey, do you feel like a sharp pain in your heart? He goes, no. She goes, how about now? You know. People, they have this really warped idea about God. They either think he's a big Santa Claus in heaven and a walking ATM machine who'll just spit out everything you want and bring angel feathers through the vents and gold dust at your house and give you everything you ever asked for, or he's this ogre up in heaven who just sits back and says, yeah, let's make that one suffer a little longer, and let's just hurt these people just because I want to hurt these people. He's not even on either end of that spectrum. Yeah, I had a dad who left us when I was a kid, more than once, as a matter of fact. Stepfather who's a cruel, no good, nothing dude. But when somebody told me he was my heavenly father, something resonated with me on that. Because I wanted a good dad. What are you holding against God? He doesn't need your forgiveness. Okay, Lord, I forgive you. Well, that's ridiculous. No. But whatever it is I'm holding against him because of somebody else's mistakes, flaws, or failures, that's the part you need to let go. Number two, you know who you never thought you had to forgive? Yourself. Now, for most people, that's not necessary because you haven't made anything right. It's funny how some Christians, they're quick to forgive themselves, but they don't make... See, forgiveness is... I give it, I grant it, and if I need it, I'm willing to pay the price to get it. Most Christians don't need to forgive themselves because they have made right what they did wrong. They continue to live in sin, they continue to live wrong, they continue to do the wrong. That person doesn't need to forgive themselves of anything until they get it right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. But you got to confess it, which means that word means to agree with. I got to come to an agreement with God about it, not what I think about it. Hey, my wrong's never as bad as yours. You got a problem. Me, I have issues. I was teaching preaching class at the college, and this young black man got up to preach, and he said, I'm going to preach a sermon on the woman with an issue of blood. My sermon is, she got issues. It had nothing to do with the text. And he started launching. Anyway, the point is, see, I'm not angry. I just have temper issues. My sin is not near as bad as yours. Of course not. You're evil, wicked, and I'm just a poor, misunderstood kid who grew up in a drunkard's home, and it's not my fault. And after all, it's hot out there. And look at the economy. And look at what's going on in America. It's not my fault. I'm under stress. You're the only one. First, you get it right with God. If you make this right, you get it right with God. Then you get right with those you've wronged. Then you make some changes. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. Hey, clean some house. You don't need to forgive yourself till you clean some act up. Hey, let's get it right here. But there are some who did just that. They went to God with an honest heart of confession and repentance. They asked his forgiveness. You got it, friend, when you did that. He gave it to you. What happened? A button? Oh, on my sleeve. Look at that. I got two more. Here's the deal. And I got three on this one, so y'all get ready on this side over here. Boy, these Walmart suits, I'm telling you. They just don't make them in China like they used to. But nobody mess with that button. I got to have it back later on. I'm feeling a little imbalanced this morning. Can we just have a regular Sunday here? Would that be good? If it's not somebody trying to take over, the buttons are popping off. Okay, there are those who have gotten it right with the Lord. They did. They honestly, if you honestly ask God's forgiveness, He will honestly give it to you. He is faithful and just. Okay, are we clear? Then you did your best to make it right with that person. They wouldn't let me. That's their fault. You tried to make it right. And you clean some house. You got it. You know what, my friend, as far as east is from the west, so far as He removed His transgression. Y'all are looking at my sleeve to see which button it is, aren't you, this morning? You never paid this much attention to a sermon in your life till a button pops off. You better hope my suspenders don't pop. We're all in big trouble. You can't keep pants on a funnel, brother. I'm telling you, it's just, this thing's breaking down, isn't it? It's terrible. I came ready this morning, but not for this. All right. Anyhow, we honestly go to God and get His forgiveness. We do our best to make it right with the other person. Look at me. Then we clean some house and get things straightened out. And then we live under a sense of condemnation because we messed up. Now look here. Look at me. Come on, folks. Look at me. If He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and if Psalm 103, as far as east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us, then why, friend, do you say, yeah, but I messed up? Did you make it right? Yeah, but I messed up. Did you look at me? Did you get your heart right? Yeah, but I messed up. Now, again, for some people, that's an excuse to keep messing up. Since I messed up, I guess I messed up. Well, no, don't go the other direction. Listen to me carefully. See, the reason He wants you to know that you're forgiven is so you can put that behind you and go on. Instead of walking around like the walking wounded. Well, if you knew my childhood, well, you talk about your childhood, Pastor. When I'm preaching, I never think about it. I lived in this town as a drunkard, in a drunkard's home. You think I drive around going, I wonder if I lived in that house as a drunkard, with a drunkard's stepfather and mama. Let it go. You understand? If you did your best to make it right, God has made it right with you. Let it go. And don't spend the rest of your days under the cloud of the fact that you didn't do what you ought to do. Don't treat it lightly. But don't live under the condemnation of what God has forgiven you for. Forgiving yourself is not allowing, accepting, or tolerating sin or failure. It is putting away from you so you can go on and get restored and have some joy and victory in your life. One more that I never thought I would have to forgive is others. You say, well, of course, that's what forgiveness is for. No, see, here's what we do. Forgiving someone else is forgiving them and what they did. Now, see, that's where some kind of stumble on the forgiving others thing. They forgive what they did, but they will not forgive them. I forgive you for what you did, but I won't forgive you. Now, question, how do you think that's forgiveness? You're still holding something against them. Or you're willing to forgive them and not forgive what they did. Or you're willing to forgive what they did, but not them. You see what I'm saying? You get stuck in the middle, and now you're like, well, I forgave them, but I'll tell you what. They took my childhood away from me, and I'll never forgive them for that. Then you have not forgiven yet. Look here, when God, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So He wipes the slate clean. Hey, He wipes the slate clean. So He not only forgives you, He forgives what you've done. Does that remove the consequences? No, but it does remove the fact that that wrong is not wrong with God anymore. That's done. That's why you keep holding on to these things with people. You've either forgiven them and not what they've done, or you've forgiven what they've done and not forgiven them. Well, I don't think I should have to do that. Then why should God ever forgive you for anything? Hey, look at me. You're holding something against somebody that happened 30 years ago, and you wonder why you have no, you've always got that little root of bitterness inside of you. And you think you have a right to hold on to that. You don't. You can. Enjoy the weeds. Enjoy the springing up thereby that defiles many, Hebrews says. Go on with it. Or just decide by the grace of God who they are and what they did. I'm letting it go. I'm going to put that aside so I can get on with my life. So we don't keep walking around the rest of our lives bemoaning our lost childhood, our lost innocence, our lost, and those are awful things. And I understand that, dear people. But come on. All this life ahead of us, and we're going to spend all of our life ahead of us dragging the corpse of what happened in our past with us. Think about that. The Romans had a treatment for people who wronged folks in society and then murdered them. Usually they'd execute them. Sometimes they would literally tie the corpse to the person's body and make him carry it until it rotted and fell off. You know, that's what we're doing with not forgiving others like we should. So there's no reason to have the, well, they've got all these issues in their life because, you know, they didn't have the right kind of dad in their life. Yeah, and now what? What are you going to do? One of the greatest joys of my life was when I got it right with my dad, the Baptist preacher, ran up with the women in the church, when I got it right with him. But I got it right with him long before he ever asked me. Then years later, he kept throwing more wood on the fire with stuff he did when he lived here in town, wanted nothing to do with our family. But the day came, he called and said, can my wife and I come and join your church? I said, yeah, and they sat right there for a while. Hey, it was a blessing. But see, I've already been free of all that stuff. No big deal. See, you think you have the privilege of holding grudges. And frankly, you're carrying a corpse around. If you have aught against any. I wonder how much of our prayer life and forgiveness is held up because we're still holding something against somebody. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.